You're listening to Agent Driven Development, real experiences from operators building with AI. Everything here is free. Use it, share it, just attribute it back.
Make it stop. That was the feedback, word for word, from your biggest customer, the one you've been bending the roadmap around for 2 years, the one whose logo is on your investor deck. You shipped everything they asked for, every feature request from the last four QBRs, the integration they needed, the reporting module they escalated to your CEO, the workflow automation they said was blocking their renewal. All of it, in one quarter, your engineering team was on fire, your deployment frequency chart looked like a hockey stick, your VP of engineering presented the numbers at the board meeting and the board applauded. And your biggest customer got on a call with your head of CS and said, make it stop. We can't keep up. Every week something is different. My team doesn't know what the product does anymore. Make it stop. You finally built fast enough to terrify your customers. Fives, the engineering bottleneck is gone. That's real. With agentic tooling, proper guardrails, a CI/CD pipeline that enforces quality automatically, and engineers who know how to work with agents instead of around them, a modern software organization can ship a meaningful, customer-facing feature every day, not a tweak, not a button color, a production-quality capability built against the real code base, tested by automated and synthetic validation, reviewed by both agents and humans, deployed behind a feature flag with telemetry wired in. I've seen teams do it. Two engineers with the right setup outproducing 10 without it. Not cutting corners, not skipping tests, not accumulating debt, shipping at a cadence that would have been absurd 3 years ago. The problem is no longer building. The problem is receiving. Goldratt told you 50 years ago in The Goal, when you eliminate one constraint, another one emerges. You don't get a system without bottlenecks, you get a system with a different bottleneck. Most executives celebrated removing the engineering constraint without asking what replaced it. What replaced it is customer absorption. The rate at which your customers can receive, understand, integrate, and benefit from the changes you ship. And almost nobody is measuring it. Poinos. Here's what the absorption gap looks like across industries. B2B SaaS, a Series C company with 42 enterprise accounts, shipped 38 major features in Q4, more than any quarter in the company's history. Their customers meaningfully adopted 9 of them. NPS dropped 11 points in the same quarter. Not because the features were bad, because operations teams at mid-market companies can't retrain, reconfigure, and change their workflows fast enough to absorb 38 changes in 13 weeks. Their capacity was 4 to 6 features per quarter. The other 29 features sat in production generating zero customer value. Care. A hospital system rolled out 7 clinical workflow updates to its EHR in a single quarter. Nurses in 3 departments reverted to paper workarounds by week 8. The IT team had shipped faster than the clinical education team could schedule floor training. Patient safety incident reports ticked up, not from software bugs, but from staff using half-learned features incorrectly during shift handoffs. Manufacturing. A manufacturer deployed a new analytics dashboard to plant floor supervisors every 2 weeks. By month 4, supervisors were ignoring all dashboards, including the ones they'd asked for. They lost trust in a system that kept changing. Production decisions reverted to spreadsheets and tribal knowledge. The $1.4 million analytics investment was technically live and functionally dead. Financial services. A bank released 12 new compliance features to its risk team in 6 months. The risk team audited and incorporated 4 of them into their control framework. 8 features were live in production, accessible to users, but not reflected in the bank's compliance documentation, permission model, or audit trail. The bank had created a tax surface and regulatory exposure it didn't know it had. Internal tools. A 200-person engineering organization shipped a new developer platform feature every week. After 6 months, fewer than 30% of engineers were using the platform as designed. The rest had built workarounds or were still using the version they learned during onboarding. The platform team's velocity metrics looked excellent. Developer satisfaction scores said otherwise. The pattern is the same in every case. Engineering output increased. Customer absorption did not. The gap between what was shipped and what was received widened until it showed up as NPS drops, support volume spikes, safety incidents, compliance gaps, or churn. Poinos. Now let's talk about why this happens. The physics of receiving. Every feature you ship imposes a cost on the receiving end, not a financial cosaint, a cognitive and organizational cosaint, and it adds up in the same order every time. Time. Discovery. Someone at the customer's organization has to notice the feature exists. Not in your release notes. Nobody reads release notes. Not in the changelog buried in your docs. Someone has to realize the thing they need is now available. At most organizations, this happens by accident. Evaluation. Does this fit our workflow? Does it replace something we already do? Does it conflict with how we configured the tool 3 years ago? Does it require admin approval? Does it break the integration our contractor built in 2024? This evaluation takes a customer anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 weeks, depending on organizational complexity. Learning. The user has to understand the new behavior and reconcile it with the mental model they built from the version they learned last quarter, which was already different from the version they learned the quarter before that. Every change invalidates some portion of the user's existing knowledge. Process change. Update the internal wiki. Tell the team. Train the people who weren't in the meeting. Answer the Slack messages from colleagues who noticed something looks different. Revise the standard operating procedure. Get sign-off from the manager who owns the workflow. Propagation. The person who learned the feature has to transfer that knowledge to everyone else who uses it. In a 50-person operations team, one person evaluates the feature and 49 need to absorb it secondhand. That sequence takes somewhere between 2 weeks and 3 months per feature, depending on the size of the organization and the complexity of the change. If you ship 38 features in a quarter and each one requires 2 to 4 weeks to absorb, you're asking your customer to run 16 to 32 concurrent absorption cycles simultaneously. That's not a workflow, that's a denial of service attack on your customer's operational bandwidth. Poinos, put a number on it. Your engineering organization costs $4 million a year. You ship 40 features per quarter, your customers absorb 10 of them. 75% of your build investment is generating zero customer value. That's $3 million a year in engineering output that shipped to production and died there. Your CFO doesn't have a line item for features customers never absorbed, but the cost is real and it shows up in four places. Flat expansion revenue. Customers can't buy the upsell if they haven't adopted the features that justify it. Your sales team pitches the new capability. The customer says, "We're still figuring out the last three things you shipped." The deal stalls. Rising support costs. Support ticket volume increases, not because things are broken, but because things are different. How do I? Tickets, the kind that signal confusion, not bugs, rise 20 to 40% in organizations that ship aggressively without managing absorption. Every ticket costs $15 to $25 to resolve. At scale, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars per year in support costs created by your own shipping velocity. Churn, the most dangerous signal. Churn conversations increasingly include the phrase, "It just kept changing and we couldn't keep up." The customer isn't leaving because your product is bad. They're leaving because the rate of change exceeded their capacity to benefit from it. You shipped them out of their comfort zone and they went somewhere more stable. Security and compliance exposure. Every unabsorbed feature is an unaudited capability. It's live in production, accessible to users, but not incorporated into the customer's security model, permission structure, or compliance documentation. You shipped an API integration. The customer is still using the CSV export. The API endpoint is live. Their security team hasn't reviewed it. You created attack surface your customer doesn't know they have. Here's the part that compounds. Technical debt, deferred engineering work that compounds over time. Your customers are accumulating training debt. Every feature you ship that a customer doesn't fully absorb creates a gap between what your product can do and what your customer knows it can do. That gap compounds. Feature 12 builds on feature 8, which builds on feature 5. If the customer never absorbed feature 5, features 8 and 12 aren't just unused. They're confusing. The UI references capabilities the user doesn't understand. The workflow assumes context the customer never built. 6 months of aggressive shipping, and your customer is using your product like it's 2024. Not because they're behind, because you raced ahead without checking whether they were following. Training debt compounds the same way technical debt does. It gets more expensive to resolve the longer you ignore it. A customer who missed one feature needs a 5-minute walkthrough. A customer who missed 12 needs a full retraining engagement. And at that point, they're evaluating whether to retrain or switch vendors. Product analytics show adoption rates, but adoption rate on feature 38 is meaningless if the customer never absorbed features 12 through 37. The base is wrong. The denominator is a fiction. You're measuring activation on top of a foundation that doesn't exist. And it's not just your customers. Your own people accumulate training debt too. Your sales team can't pitch features they don't understand. Your support team can't troubleshoot capabilities they've never used. Your CS team can't drive adoption of features they learned about from a changelog. When you ship faster than your own organization can absorb, the gap shows up internally before it shows up externally. In longer support calls, in vague sales demos, in CS conversations that dance around, features nobody on your side fully grasps either. Now, your designers will tell you this is a UX problem. Better progressive disclosure, better contextual help, better onboarding flows. If the features were designed better, customers would absorb them faster. Good UX reduces the cost of each individual change. It doesn't change the fundamental constraint. A human being can process a finite amount of change per unit of time. Even if every individual feature is beautifully designed, clear, intuitive, self-explanatory, the aggregate rate of change can still exceed what a customer can absorb. You could design the perfect email. Clear subject, concise body, obvious action. Now send 400 of them in a day. The problem isn't that any individual email was badly designed. The problem is that the volume exceeded the recipient's capacity to process. Your UX team can lower the cost per feature. That matters. But it doesn't solve the rate problem. You can't UX your way out of shipping faster than your customers can receive. 1.0s. 1.0s. So what do you do about it? The organizations that figure this out don't slow down engineering. You don't throttle a solved constraint to match an unsolved one. You solve the unsolved one. FirstSync measure absorption is an operating metric. Feature adoption belongs in your weekly product review with the same weight as cycle time and deployment frequency. Three metrics matter. Time to first meaningful use, not first login after release. The first time a customer uses the feature to accomplish the job it was designed for. If that number is greater than 30 days, the feature isn't landing. Adoption depth, not click the button, but used it to complete a workflow. A reporting feature isn't adopted when someone opens it. It's adopted when someone exports a report and sends it to their boss. Measure the end, not the beginning. Workflow integration rate. Did this become part of how the customer works, or did they try it once and revert to the spreadsheet? Measure usage at day 7, day 30, and day 90. If the day 90 number is below 40% of the day 7 number, the feature didn't stick. Second, gate releases to absorption capacity. Not every feature goes to every customer on the day it ships. Feature flags aren't just a technical safety mechanism, they're an absorption management tool. Build a customer readiness score. Inputs: current feature adoption depth, open support tickets, time since last major release absorbed, organizational size, and historical absorption velocity. Customers with high readiness scores get early access. Customers still digesting the last release get the next one when telemetry shows they're ready. This isn't slowing down. This is routing. Your engineering team ships every day. Your release team delivers based on the customer's capacity to receive. Third, decouple shipping from releasing. Your engineering team ships to production every day, behind flags, into the infrastructure. That cadence doesn't change. Changes is the release cadence, the rate at which features are surfaced, announced, enabled, and delivered to customers. Shipping is an engineering decision. Releasing is a product decision. The two should not be coupled. And at most organizations, they are. Here's an example. A B2B platform company ships daily, but releases on a 6-week cadence per customer segment. Enterprise accounts get a curated release every 6 weeks with white glove enablement. Mid-market accounts get a monthly release with in-app guidance. Self-serve accounts get continuous release with contextual tooltips. Same engineering velocity. Three different absorption strategies. Fourth, invest in enablement as a product function. Not a knowledge base nobody reads, not a changelog email that lands in a folder. In-product contextual guidance that meets the customer where they are. When telemetry shows a customer performing a task the old way, surface the new way at that moment, not in a release email they received 3 weeks ago. Agent-driven enablement. Agents that monitor customer usage patterns and identify absorption gaps in real time. When an account's adoption depth on a key feature drops below threshold, the agent triggers a CS outreach. Not a generic email, but a specific message referencing the customer's workflow and the feature they haven't yet used. Structured release windows with customer-side training built in. For enterprise accounts, every release includes a 30-minute enablement session scheduled before the feature is enabled. Not after, before. The customer learns the feature, then receives it. Not the other way around. Create absorption feedback loops. When a customer absorbs a feature, the system knows. When a customer ignores a feature, the system knows. When a customer starts a feature workflow and abandons it, the system knows. That signal feeds back into the product team as operating context for what to ship next. If the customer hasn't absorbed features 34 through 38, shipping feature 39 isn't velocity, it's waste. This isn't a SaaS problem. A manufacturing company shipping internal tooling updates to plant floor operators faces the same constraint. A hospital system rolling out clinical workflow changes faster than nurses can retrain, creates patient safety risk. A bank releasing compliance features faster than its risk team can audit them, creates regulatory exposure. A government agency modernizing citizen-facing services faster than caseworkers can learn them, creates service quality failures. The domain changes, the physics don't. Wherever humans receive software, absorption is the constraint. If you measure nothing else, measure these six things. Time to first meaningful use, target under 14 days. Day 90 retention rate per feature, target above 60% of day 7 usage. Absorption capacity per segment varies, but measure it. How do I support ticket ratio? Target under 20% of total tickets. Feature waste rate, percent of shipped features with under 10% adoption at day 90, target under 25%. At day 90, target under 25%. And customer readiness score, gate your releases on this. Most organizations track deployment frequency and celebrate when it goes up. That's measuring the supply side. These metrics measure the demand side. Your customer's capacity to receive what you build. So what do you do with the extra engineering capacity? If your customers can absorb 6 features per quarter and your team can build 40, you've got 34 features worth of engineering capacity that isn't going to land. Shipping those 34 is waste. You make the 6 features you do ship perfect. 0.0s, 2.0 is. The MVP era trained an entire generation of product leaders to ship the minimum and iterate based on feedback. That made sense when building was expensive. When a feature took a team of 8 engineers 3 months, you couldn't afford to polish before you validated. You shipped something rough, watched what happened, and fixed it later. The MVP was a budget constraint dressed up as a methodology. That constraint is gone. The MVP of 2019, the one that took a team 3 sprints to ship, can be built by an agent in an hour. A working prototype with real data, real interactions, real UX, not a wireframe, not a Figma click-through, functional software. When building is that fast, minimum viable is no longer the right standard. You have the capacity to ship something complete, something with proper error handling, real test coverage, edge cases handled, documentation that exists, and a UX that doesn't require a support article to explain. You have the capacity to ship software that your customer opens and immediately understands, because you spent the engineering time on quality instead of burning it on volume nobody can absorb. Here's what the extra capacity buys you. Test coverage that actually covers, not the 60% coverage number your team reports to pass the CI gate. Comprehensive integration tests, end-to-end flows. Edge cases that used to get filed as will fix in V2 and never did. Agent-driven testing can generate and run thousands of test scenarios in the time it used to take to write 10. Use that capacity, ship features that don't break in production because you tested the paths your customers actually take. True saint. The feature loads in 200 milliseconds, not 2 seconds. The search returns results before the user finishes typing. The export handles 50,000 rows without choking. Performance isn't a nice to have. It's a trust signal. Customers who experience fast, reliable software absorb new features more willingly because they trust the product. Customers who experience lag and timeouts resist every change because they've learned that new things resist every change because they've learned that new things break. Documentation that exists. Not the documentation your team promised in the sprint retro and never wrote. API docs generated from the actual code. In-app help text that references the current UI, not the UI from 2 releases ago. Onboarding flows that account for the customer's existing configuration. When your customer can self-serve the learning phase, absorption accelerates. Every hour of engineering time spent on documentation saves 10 hours of support time and weeks of absorption DAOs. Accessibility and internationalization done right, not retrofitted. Not we'll get to it. Built in from the start because you have the capacity to do it properly. Screen reader support, keyboard navigation, RTL language support, WCAG compliance. These aren't polishite myths. They're the difference between software that 80% of your addressable market can use and software that 100% of your addressable market can use. Migrations and upgrades that don't punish your customers. When you change a data model, write the migration that handles every edge case, not the migration that works for 95% of accounts and creates a support ticket for the other 5%. When you deprecate an API endpoint, build the compatibility layer that gives your customer 6 months to transition instead of a breaking change that ruins their weekend. The engineering time is available. Use it to absorb the cost of change on your side so your customer doesn't have to absorb it on theirs. Your engineering capacity is no longer the constraint on how much you can build. It's the investment you make in how well you build. Volume is cheap. Quality is the new competitive advantage. The organization that ships 6 features per quarter, each one polished, tested, documented, performant, and ready to absorb on contact, will outperform the organization that ships 40 features per quarter and overwhelms its customers with half-finished capabilities per quarter and overwhelms its customers with half-finished capabilities. Stop shipping slop at volume. Ship fewer things, better, at the pace your customers can receive them. Use the engineering capacity you freed up to make every release worth absorbing. Your next product review should include one question that it's probably never included before. Of the features we shipped last quarter, how many did our customers actually absorb? Deploy, not release, not announce, absorb, fold into their workflow, use to do their job, derive value from. If the answer is less than half, you don't have a velocity advantage. You have a warehousing operation. The engineering bottleneck is solved. The operating model works. The tools are here. Your team can build at a pace that was impossible 3 years ago. Question is no longer how fast you can ship. The question is how fast your customers can receive. This is Norman from Agent Driven Development.
That's it for this one. More at agentdrivendevelopment.com. If it helped, pass it on.